I'm trying to remember when it was. It was, I think it was early 2011. We worked on this several times together at MRS headquarters to be able to devote ourselves completely to it. That I realized that I had on my computer or on my desk with hard copies probably the most extensive source of information on materials for energy that exists. That was a mind-boggling realization.
Hello and welcome to the Materials Research Society podcast. I'm Tim Paluca, the science news editor for MRS. Our theme music was graciously provided by John Marcinism, a renowned Pittsburgh composer and guitarist. You can learn more about John and his music at the end of this podcast. The voice you just heard was David Kahn of the Weizmann Institute in Israel, talking about the process of writing a new textbook entitled Fundamentals of Materials for Energy and Environmental Sustainability. Kahn is co-editor of the book, along with Dave Ginley of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, whose voice you will be hearing soon. The textbook will be available in December 2011 from the Materials Research Society and the Cambridge University Press. I caught up with Dave and David, Ginley and Kahn respectively, at the recent World Materials Summit in Washington, D.C. I managed to corral them long enough to talk for 20 minutes or so about the book, how it came about, and what you can expect to find inside it.
We can start with that the famous quote by David Merman.
What is that?
Merman wrote with Ashcroft's book, Solid State Physics. And he's been quoted as saying that our book is the funniest solid state physics textbook by default, because we have at least one joke. So
we have at least one joke.
Yes, I think we win.
Do you have one joke in here?
Oh, more we have more than one.
Yeah? Yes.
Anything you can tell?
No, because you have to read it. Otherwise, we would give it away.
There aren't enough that we can afford to tell you now.
The book should be available to everyone who wants to learn about the importance of materials for energy and the environmental sustainability, where environmental sustainability is trying to explain that you cannot just take energy as something that is apart from the environment in which we live. And so the materials that are relevant for our society are materials that, if we look in the future, should promise some degree of sustainability.
Okay, and how did you gentlemen get together to write this? Who started this? Did this come out of the energy?
I'm afraid that's probably my fault. Yes. We had the vision to create the book, and it was clear that it was a project that was too large for one person. But it was also clear that you had to have two people who could work very closely together for sustained time. And Dave and I have known each other for a very long time, and we have equally proactive views about energy, the environment, and the importance of educating people about those, not just students, but more broadly. And so it was an obvious partnership. And I have to admit that there were times that this got to be fairly stressful, and we never had a problem. We always worked beautifully together. And that was one of the true pleasures of producing the book. It's one of those magical things, right? So we were involved at the level where it's sort of like one of those dinosaur pictures, right? So we were putting the points on the sheet of paper, and we couldn't see the whole picture until we got done. And when you get done and you move back and you look and you can see the whole picture, you realize that the whole is much greater than anything that we can take credit for. We had a magnificent set of authors and tremendous help from MRS and Cambridge in putting the whole thing together in a way that I think really makes a unique textbook. And really, I think the definitive fair source of information about the broad range of energy and related technologies. We didn't filter people's opinions. So when you read
sometimes it was a little bit difficult, but it did not.
It was tempting. It was indeed tempting. So when you read the petroleum chapter, they tell you there's plenty of petroleum, so you shouldn't worry about any of the other things. When you read the nuclear chapter, it says there's plenty of nuclear, you shouldn't worry about the other things. And I think the goal of the book was exactly that, that when you read all these, you have to sit back and use your own mind to try to make some decisions given all the facts.
So the book will give you the raw material, the data, the way of the way you can think about it. As an example, you can do it differently. I think that that is probably the most important thing of the book. It's a textbook where I'm not sure that one professor is going to teach all of the 49 chapters, but by teaching several of them, that same professor can now feel more comfortable by also including related areas in which she or he may not be an expert. Because in the book, there are expert treatises. And as such, it allows for a much more holistic way of teaching and of this for the students to look at the topic. I think that is part of what we were after, what I think is critical, because I think that both of us have enough colleagues who have solved the problem. There is no problem, we solved it. And then colleague B said, there's no problem, I solved it. And this is maybe understandable from the very narrow point of view of the great expert who has really dug a very, very deep hole. And in that hole, he knows everything, but it's not the way to approach energy. And so the other thing that I think is important, we tried to avoid this trap of jack of all trades, master of none. I hope we succeeded.
Well, I think the other key aspect of the book is that in science, you very often have an edited book where you take a bunch of papers and staple them together on the same or related topic areas. But in this particular case, we created a template, the authors wrote to the template, and then it was even edited additionally to make the whole book a coherent whole. So the chapters look the same, they're graphically the same, they have the same structural elements. It really is a textbook. It's not an assemblage of papers about different areas stapled together. And it was done very much with foresight from the start on how we wanted the whole book to look and to make it a teachable book, not a book that would be a good resource but not teachable.
And it's quite a book, from what I understand, 750 pages or more, something like that?
That's not an atypical length for a lot of college texts nowadays. And of course, David, my hope is that it won't be very long before this evolves into an e-resource, and we can carry it around on our Kindle instead of carrying it around in our backpack.
And how did you go about, I counted at least 100 authors in this book.
You search, you try to choose wisely. Sometimes you are rebuffed, and then you think again. And then you try to convince. And yes, there was a lot of telephone calls that had to be made, a lot of follow-ups by the incredible Eileen Novak, who is mentioned in the preface.
Yeah, no, we must say that the book had a very demanding schedule. And while Dave and I can be tough guys if we have to be, it really had more to do with Eileen at MRS and Michelle at Cambridge that really kept the ship headed the right direction and proceeding at the right velocity to get the book done in the time it was done.
And how long was that time?
From the initial proposal, was sometime in August 2009. It was approved later. We started to work on it seriously in December 2009.
And to have it actually appearing in November 2011 for this kind of project is amazing. And it really reflects on the dedication of all of our authors who took the project very seriously. That was, I think, for Dave and I, the most amazing thing.
Yes, that's true. I had not expected that. Then afterwards, we had the issue of getting it reviewed. So again, you had a larger community that you were now addressing, asking for something for which there is no ego trip involved because the reviewing is anonymous. But yes, it was also done, and that was also somewhat demanding. But in the end, all chapters were peer-reviewed.
Which I think is actually, for a textbook, it's an unusual move. And it's actually very significant that we actually had numerous reviews. So we had peer reviews of the technical content. We had a review of were they matching the format? Did it fit into the other chapters? And then we actually had a professional tech writer actually rewrite chapters to make sure that the form and function and wording actually all was coherent throughout the book. I don't know of any other project I've ever been involved in that had that due diligence. And many of the figures were redrawn. All the figures were done according to a standard for the book.
Yes.
It's
you still got that done in 2 years.
And well, that's right.
And there was a double review by both of us, or sometimes triple.
Right.
Because we read first draft, then our reviews went back to the authors before it went out for peer review. And then it came back with the peer reviews. We again went over it, and then we went over the final version, the near final version. And there was also a more technical reviewer at Cambridge, so.
I remember a month or two ago you guys were in MRS headquarters in Pittsburgh. I didn't see you for the 5 or 6 days you were there. I think you were locked up with Eileen in a room reading all 750.
So well on junk food.
But we actually got together for three sustained intervals to work together on the book. That's and right. had For a long time, we had weekly conference calls, and I think I have to admit that I know how busy Dave is, and he committed a huge amount of his time and resources to doing this right.
I'm not busier than you are, but yes, we did, and I'm not sure I would have done it alone. I'm not sure about Dave, but it's clearly something where, you know, the other one is relying on you, so you can't let him down.
It was an amazing partnership. It was a ball doing it together, and I think neither one of us could have done it by ourselves.
Was being in Israel and being in Colorado any impediment to working together?
It was mainly hard on Dave because he would sometimes have to get up very early, and not only get up, be awake. And so that was for me. It was easier. My main problems were that if they were Friday afternoon, I wanted to go home to my family. And so I tried to get it as early as possible, but it was too early for Dave. But we managed. I mean, I think if he had been in Honolulu, it would have been more difficult.
Yes. Well, in some respects. And not in others.
So you cover, obviously, I think you've hit every aspect of materials and energy in this. You also cover things like the economics of materials.
Yeah, so
and things.
I think that it was a decision early on that you had to create the appropriate context for the rest of the book. And so starting with the sort of global environmental situation, talking about geopolitical realities, talking about the economics of energy, were all important for setting the stage and allowing the student to have some way to value things against each other. And I think that's also why we have energy efficiency as well as energy generation. We have vehicles I think we may be the only book in the known universe that has a chapter on shipping.
Yes.
And you wrote that yourself, right, Dave?
Well, I'm not going to admit that I know anything about shipping, but yes.
No, you learned a lot.
I did learn a lot. I learned that shipping actually is 4 to 5% of global CO2, so it's something that we pay no attention to that's actually and consequential. Actually, you know. So, I mean, yeah, and in that sense, I think I would like to have this book. I know that many experts in the field and the conference we have just been at for the last week has clearly illustrated that there's a need for even the experts in the field to have a broader sense of the field so that they can be more articulate about what their own interests are. They have to be able to put them in perspective. And so the book actually helps do that for even the expert.
For, as we heard over the last few days, economics has to be in there, life cycle analysis has to be in there, because they should be considered. So we have it in the book. And I think it's a very good start. So I hope it'll be successful. I hope it'll serve the community, because that's the purpose of the exercise of both Dave and me.
Well, great. Thank you very much for your interview today. I know Dave Ginley just had a rush out here, but David Kahn, thank you very much for talking to us about the new book due out soon from the Materials Research Society and the Cambridge University Press.
It's a pleasure.
In case you're wondering, Dave Ginley had to leave suddenly to chair the next session of the World Materials Summit, where this interview took place, so he wasn't in the room at the end of the interview. I'll just thank him here for his time. Thanks again to composer and guitarist John Marcinison for providing our theme music. You can learn more about John and hear more of his music at johnmarcinison.com. That's one word, johnmarcinison.com. We appreciate your tuning into our podcast and hope you'll join us for future shows. This podcast is copyright the Materials Research Society 2011, all rights reserved.